Thank you so much. Are y'all ready for Christmas? Now let me finish my sentence. To be over? Good morning. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. I love, whoever did the decorating did a fine job, didn't they? Amen. I love the decorations. I love the lights. I love everything there is about Christmas. I told y'all I was going to come with the Thanksgiving turkey prayer today. I told y'all that last week. So here's our prayer for the turkey today. Lord, turkey again. We've had it young. We've had it old. We've had it baked and we've had it stuffed. But Lord, don't you think we've had enough? So that's the turkey prayer on the Sunday following Thanksgiving. So that's what many of you will be praying today, huh? I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, if you would please, to Romans chapter 1. While you're turning, I'm just going to take a couple of moments of personal privilege. I didn't realize, Brother Jim, how much I had in common with First Baptist Church Livingston until last Sunday walking out the back door. Brother Charles Hoy, I had the privilege of being his wife, Patsy, and his daughter, Penny. We're members of First Baptist Church Ringgold, which was pretty much like First Baptist Livingston in North Louisiana, where I served at that time. They lived just about four or five houses down from me. Brother Hoy would bring in his Winnebago. He would dismantle the thing, stuff it full of clothes and of materials to take back down. He said, I'm not only preaching the gospel, I'm training people to be preachers. But to do that, I also have to teach them how to make a living because they need to know how to do that as well. And one of the things that he had a lathe. He says, I've got everything packed in there. He says, you have to bribe the guards as you're driving down in the policeman. And if you have a bunch of stuff, they'll take it from you and seize it if they want it. And so he says, one of the things that I do, what do I do with this lathe? I said, have you ever thought about having dual exhaust on your Winnebago? Just stick it out as another exhaust pipe underneath. And so he's been faithful in serving the Lord. My mother-in-law made mention last Sunday when I was walking out. She goes, he's my age. My mother-in-law is no spring chicken. She's not here, so I can say that. So she said, he's my age. He's still doing that. I said, yes, he is. He's given his life to serving the Lord down in the Yucatan, and God's blessed the work that he has done. Kyle Kirkpatrick, who's coming on the 12th. I met Kyle about 2 months ago. Now, here's another connection, again, through First Baptist Church Ringgold. Vance and Sherry Kirkpatrick, his parents, were the pastor. He was the pastor at Ringgold, two pastors before I went there. So I knew Vance from up in the Ringgold area as well. Vance and Sherry come out of Lake Charles. And so you'll want to be here on the 12th to hear him speak. God's doing a marvelous work in and through his life. We also want to just pause for a moment. Your former pastor, Brother R.E. Clark, has been diagnosed with cancer and is beginning to go through a grueling chemotherapy and treatment for that cancer. We want to stop right now and we want to pray for Brother R.E., okay? Can we join together in prayer? I'll lead us out loud. Let's pray together for God's hand of healing and strength to be up on Brother R.E. and that God will be with his family at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do humble ourselves before you. And Father, we hold up your choice servant, Brother R.E. Clark, who's been faithful throughout the years in serving you. I pray and ask that in Jesus' name that your hand of healing will come upon him, that you will use the doctors and nurses as your instruments of healing to bring about healing and strength in his body. We pray for his family, Lord, who's walking through this valley with them, that, Father, that you would strengthen them and encourage them and be their hope. And I pray for this congregation that loves Brother Clark. I pray today, Heavenly Father, that your peace that surpasseth all understanding will guard our hearts. And that, Father, that the hope of Christmas will be our strength today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Continue to pray for him. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 13 in just a moment. I want to thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to come and fill the pulpit here. I do not take this lightly. I consider it a great honor and a privilege to come and serve the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to be your associational missions coordinator, which means director of missions. And I'm proud to do that and serve the Lord together with you here in Livingston Parish. But our world is at a tipping point today, isn't it? We're in a mess. We're in a mess in the world today. Chaos and anarchy are the rule of the day. We live in economic and times of economic and political uncertainty. There are things that we have been taught from the scripture that we thought we would never see in our lifetime, and we're seeing it happen right before our eyes. So as we look at the situation of our world, it would be easy for us to run and hide, wouldn't it? But the truth is, what does all of this chaos mean for the believer today? Moreover, what does it mean for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? The very church that society is trying to dismantle and destroy in our country today, what does it mean for us, this chaos in which we're living in? The church is not a social club. The church is not a community gathering place. The church is the born again, baptized body of believers who have made a commitment to God through Christ and made a commitment to each other that we are going to be on mission together for Christ to touch and change our world. The world's getting bigger. 7 billion people. Back in 1988, I remember all of my teachers at the seminary telling us, do you realize there's soon going to be 6 billion people on the face of this earth? Since 88, now we're up to 7 billion people on the face of the earth. It's getting bigger, but it's also getting smaller. Our brother was telling us he's going to get on a plane and fly to the other side of the world. You can get on an airplane today and within 24 hours be geographically at the other side of our world. My brother-in-law got on a plane in New Orleans, and 18 hours later, he was in Saipan, just several hundred miles south of Japan. The world is getting larger, it's getting smaller, and the world is coming to our front door. So what do we need? What is the work of the church, and what is the message of the church today? Here's the message. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon today, please remember this one sentence. We need the gospel. We need the gospel. Now look at verse 13 of chapter 1 of the book of Romans. I'm going to ask you to stand as I read the Word of God. If you have your Bible, join with me. You read silently. Let me read out loud, because I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Version because it has the super jumbo giant print I can see. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am obligated both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Heavenly Father, today we humble ourselves before you. We do live in some difficult times. But Heavenly Father, we know you're not caught off guard. You're not surprised. We may be, but you're not. Father, we come and we humble ourselves before you and pray that, Father, that you would speak to our hearts today to make us witnesses for you and to proclaim the gospel message. Heavenly Father, I pray that the scripture that we've just read, that, Father, that it would honor and glorify your name. And I pray that the words that come off of my tongue today, Lord, will be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So when we look at this passage, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We use the word gospel all the time. We know the Sunday school answer. What does the gospel mean? It means good news. And so we are to be evangelists. What is an evangelist? One who heralds the good news, who takes the good news. What do our missionaries do? Hey, this is the beginning of the week of prayer for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so as we begin this week of prayer for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, what's the purpose of our missionaries? And when we get right down to it, what is the purpose of Christmas? Why do we celebrate? Why do we remember Christmas? Because God has done something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. He has provided by the blood and the finished work of Jesus Christ, he's provided a way for sinful man to be restored to right relationship with a holy and righteous God. That's what Christmas is all about. And so here it is. I'm going to ask several questions and provide an answer. What is the gospel? Look at verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel is the good news of God. It began with God. It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. It was started there when God says, there's one coming whose heel will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bite the heel of that one who is coming. That is the first time that the gospel is indicated in Scripture, is at the very beginning as a part of the redemption of man for his sin. We see in Isaiah 53, that is the gospel of the Old Testament that talks about the coming of Jesus and what he would do on the cross, how he would suffer. He would bear our sins on the cross that we might be saved. Isaiah chapter 55, it talked about God's ways are not our ways. It proclaims the gospel that we need to line up our lives and live for God. God desires to bring sinful man back into a relationship with himself, who is a holy and righteous God. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. It proclaims the finished work of Jesus on the cross. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, now I want to make it clear to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is the good news of God. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. Jesus is God who came and lived among us, tempted and tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. We are told in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he that knew no sin became sin in our behalf, that we might be made to become the righteousness of God in him. And so this is the gospel message, and it is the power of God unto salvation. Wow. The word salvation comes from a little word that means safe and secure. It means safe and sound, reminding that only in Christ are we safe and sound. Only in the hands of Christ will we find ourselves in a position of safety when we leave this world. Only in Christ will we find ourselves in a place of safety and protection in this world. No matter what the world may do to us, we are safe and sound in the hands of God. It is the power of God. The word for power, y'all have heard all of these before. Let me repeat them again because I sort of like to hear it and be reminded of it myself. The word for power, we get the word dynamite. We get the word dynamo. We get the word, and that is talking about a transforming type of power. It's active and transforming. You take one form of energy, turn it into another form of energy. I like living out here because you know how they're getting rid of some of the stumps out here? Oh, they're using stump grinders. No, they're using dynamite. You put a little half stick dynamite down underneath the stump, light it up, and it'll change the landscape, won't it? So here it is. The gospel is dynamite power in our lives to take us off the road to hell and put us on to the road to heaven, to take us off the road of self-destruction and put us on the road of life. That's the power of the gospel. We are made safe and sound by the power of God, active, life-changing power. God is the source of this gospel. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a transformation because of the gospel. But the gospel is also conditional. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. It's conditional to those who believe. Now, it's more than saying words, I believe in Jesus. You know, we can say those words. That doesn't save anyone. When we're talking about believing, we're not talking about mental assent. We're talking about putting our lives and giving up our lives to God. We're under new ownership at that time. We have signed over the deed of our life to God as the owner of our lives. And so here it is. We're giving it up to God. It's conditional. Total reliance on Jesus. It's to see ourselves as we are in the reflection of who God is. You want me to tell you about Richard Blue? I'm going to tell you about myself right now. I am a sinner. I'm no good. I'm a sinner. And what makes me worth anything to God is what Jesus has done for me on the cross. Because he took my sin, a life given for a life. He took my sin, put it up on himself, and he died on the cross and shed his blood that I might be saved. I am what I am, and it's all because of Jesus Christ and nothing else. In John chapter 1, verse 12, John wrote in the beginning of his gospel, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right, The word right means power and authority. He gave them the right to become a child of God, even to those who believe on his name. And so we see there that it's conditional. It's total reliance upon Christ. We do not measure up to God. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I've got my own way of worshiping God. We don't come to God on our terms. We come to God on his terms. We come on his terms. And we have to humble ourselves before God. We do not measure up. And we need to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but by him. Acts 4:12, we're reminded that, here it is, my quoter just broke. Have you ever had your quoter broke? Don't you hate that when that happens? Here we go. Bear with me. I'll get started. There we go. For there is no salvation in any other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, there's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Now, who needs the gospel? Everyone needs the gospel. Everyone. To the Jews first. Now, who are the Jews? Those who had the promises of God, those who had the law, who had been entrusted with the oracles of God, they've been entrusted with the temple of the Lord, and they had a covenant relationship with God. And so we would say they were the religious people of their day. In Galatians 3:24, we are reminded in that scripture, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. By the works of the law, no man will be justified. Why? We can't keep it. We can't keep the law. We're going to mess up somewhere in our lives. And so what is it that we need? We need grace and mercy. We don't need what we deserve. We need what we don't deserve. We need the grace and mercy of Jesus. The Jews were the religious people. The Greeks were the sophisticated people. We would say they were the equivalent of the Americans today. They had the common language. They had the culture. They had education. They had wisdom. They were so smart, they no longer needed God. They're sort of like us, aren't they? Aren't they? But also we hear that it's also the educated and the uneducated need the Lord. We all need the Lord. Have you thought about that? We all need God in our life. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Standing before the white throne judgment of God, who's going to stand at that judgment? It says the great and the small. That means who? Everyone. 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 All walks of life, people need the Lord. There's someone here today. Perhaps there's someone here today. You need the Lord in your life. Now, what does the gospel do for us? Look at our scripture again that we've just read. Let me get back over here. Here we go. In verse 17, for in what? In the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Here's what the gospel does for us. It reveals the righteousness of God. He's the measure. He is the standard by which we measure our lives. How do you measure up? I don't measure up very well. I don't measure up very well. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And so here it is. He's the standard, and we do not measure God by our standards, our thoughts, our ways. We measure ourselves up to God. That means we have to see him for as he is, holy and righteous and just in every way, and see ourselves for who and what we are. We're found lacking in our own ability and our own might. And we're sinners in the light of Christ. But he leads us, he reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. The gospel takes men who are wrong in the light of God who are living by faith in themselves, faith in their own ways, or faith in something else, faith in government, faith in the stock market, faith in all these other things that are out there, rather than faith in Christ. So we're taken from faith to faith. We're brought into the right relationship with God. The gospel takes men who are wrong in the light of God's righteousness and makes them right before God. Now, if you don't mind, I'm just going to say a little something right here. Wow, that's good. That's so good, I'll say it backwards. Wow. You know why we have Christmas? Because we're remembering that God came down and became one of us, lived as we live, tempted and tested in every way that we are, yet without sin. He took our sin upon himself, a life given for a life. When he died on the cross and shed his blood, a life was given for a life that if we would believe, that we might be saved. Wow. Thank you for the good singing today. Wow. Praise God. We talked about the cross today from faith to faith. And this, the means of this transformation is faith. For the righteous man shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. We're saved. That's Habakkuk 2:4 that the Apostle Paul is quoting here in verse 17. He who is righteous, by faith he shall live. So we're saved by faith, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the free gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. But we're not only saved by faith, we are kept by faith. He who is righteous, by faith he shall live. That's the best way of translating that passage right there. The one who's righteous by the blood of Christ, by the presence of Christ, he not only is saved by faith, he lives by faith every day, which means he hangs on to Jesus every day that he lives, and he orders his life in the steps and the ways of Christ by the way that he lives. So we're saved and kept by faith. That's what the gospel does for us. Now, as we've looked at it, what is the gospel? Who needs the gospel? What does it do for us? I want to get right down to the point today. Why share the gospel? Now, I grew up with the 1957 Baptist hymnal. Amen, the Baptist hymnal. And there's one of those songs in there. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, and of Jesus and his love. Here's the last verse. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. We need to be reminded of the gospel and what it has done for us. Why do we need to be reminded of it? Because we have an obligation to it. Back up in verses 14 and 15, Paul said, I am obligated both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. We're bound by duty as God's people to share the gospel and proclaim the gospel. I don't know. I know in churches sometimes we get tired. We share the gospel and we say, it's not doing any good. Well, see, we don't think it's doing any good. We won't know the effectiveness of our witness and how we share Christ until we get to heaven. So don't quit now. Well, they laugh at me. Share the gospel. I remember when the World Trade Center was getting ready to collapse and crumble to the ground. A wife called her husband on his cell phone, Somebody answered it and says, he can't talk right now, because he had been the one that had been laughed at and ridiculed for sharing his faith with them. And the last moments of their life, of his life, he says, he's witnessing to 18 of our co-workers right now and telling them how to be saved. See, because when you share, even if they laugh, they scorn, one day they're going to remember. And when life gets tough, they're going to know who they can go to and who they can turn to find help. We need to proclaim the gospel. Paul says, I hadn't been ignoring you. I just hadn't been able to come. You see, we have a moral obligation to share the gospel, because we have friends and relatives and neighbors that will die and burst hell wide open if they do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If we see somebody going to their death and we don't try to stop them, their blood will be required at our hands, we're told in Ezekiel chapter 3. It's going to be required of us. But if we proclaim that word and they ignore it, they may go and perish, but we have been set free because we've done what was required of us, to get in the way and try to stop them. So we have a moral obligation. We have a biblical obligation. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have a biblical mandate to go and tell folks about Christ. It's written into our lifestyle as a believer. We can't help. Did you know that your life is an aroma? Preacher, are you telling us that we stink? No, I'm saying there's an odor about you. To some people, you may stink. To others, you smell like roses. The Bible tells us over in Corinthians, it says that our life is an aroma. To those who know the Lord, it's an aroma unto life. But to those who do not know the Lord, it's an aroma unto death. Have you ever noticed that ungodly people, when they get around you, that you don't have to say a word. You just act like a Christian, treat them like a Christian, and you know what they're going to do? I don't want to be around him. There's something weird about him. I don't want to be around them. They don't want to be around you because they know you have something I don't have. I need it, and I don't want it. They want it. They just don't know they want it yet. But we're to love them and show them Jesus by the way that we live, by the way we practice our faith. Live by faith. See, we live in a world that needs the Lord. I like old songs. Now some folks are saying, I'm getting ready to quote the words of a song. It was written in about the late 1980s. Oh, that's not old. Well, to some folks, it's ancient. There's some people in this church right now that believe that dirt was invented in 1988. And they're old as dirt. So that must be when it was invented, huh? This song struck my heart as to why we need to tell others about Christ. Every day they pass us by. I can see it in their eye. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. And on they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? See, Christmas time, I love everything. Man, my favorite time of the year. But you know what? The real importance of Christmas, like you have on your sign, I like your sign. Jesus is the reason for the season. And we have forgotten that. We have so much forgotten that. You see, there's some of you today that are here. You may have religion. You may be a member of a church or a denomination. But you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, you haven't made it real. You haven't nailed it down. You've not given up the ownership of your life to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And today, if you have never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can know Him today. We have to admit that we're sinners and that we cannot save ourselves. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Three fingers pointing back at myself. Well, I have one finger pointing out. Amen. You with me? We're all sinners, including me. For the wages of sin is death. Death is separation. Separation of the soul from the body. The soul from the presence of God. That's the second death. Separated from God for eternity. You see, we have to admit that we're sinners and that we cannot save ourselves. We need to believe that Jesus is who He says He is, that He's the Son of God who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, took our sin upon Himself, died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin that we might be saved. He arose from the dead to validate the fact He is God. He ascended into heaven. He's coming again. He's coming again. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. We need to believe that Jesus is who He says He is. We need to confess Him as Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made resulting in salvation. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you need Jesus today? If you do, you can find Him today. You can leave here today knowing that Jesus is in your life. He's in the driver's seat of your life. You, by faith, you can give up ownership and write the deed of your life over to Jesus. Will you make Him the Lord of your life today? Now let me speak to the church just a moment. There's a lost world in our backyard that needs to know the Lord. First Baptist Church, you know why you're called First Baptist? Well, we're the oldest church here. We're the first. No, you're first because you're the first in priority. You're the first in leadership. You're the ones that ought to be taking the torch and the light of Jesus and assailing the gates of hell in this community. You need to lead the way to let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say, that's the preacher's responsibility. It's every believer's responsibility, including the preacher's. It's time to rise up and move the gates of hell. I'm too old, let the young folks do it. Well, you won't like the way they do it. So what do we need to do? You go out and win some folks. There's some senior adults that need to be won to Jesus. And they're getting close. They're getting close enough to where they can smell the brimstone. We need to tell them about Jesus. Amen? We need to go tell them. Young folks, you got your whole life in front of you to go tell people about Jesus, to tell your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Start right now. Let your life count for God. Live your whole life out for the Lord. And so we need to tell somebody about Jesus. But it's also time to think about our world. We've already talked about Brother Hoy spending his... He sacrificed and gave up his life to live in the Yucatan to win people to Christ. We talked about... You told us Brother John over in India had passed away a couple of weeks ago. Brother John, he gave up his life in order to, in a godless world, to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He spent his life... He served his generation and now he's been buried together with his fathers. And so he's been over there to do that. We need to let our lives count. It's time to think about the world. We have 3,604 missionaries. The Kirkpatricks are going to come and talk about that in a couple of weeks. They're part of that 3,604. They're overseas missionaries through our International Mission Board. Praise God for them. Praise God for them. You need to pray for them. You need to support them with a Christmas gift. We give a Christmas gift to our children and family. What would you spend on a Christmas gift for your children? hey, we need to give Jesus a Christmas gift. It needs to be above and beyond. It needs to be sacrificial. Why? Our missionaries need your help. Your prayers, they also need you to support them financially. But let me share something else. They need you to go and help them. We need boots on the ground. We need somebody to go help them. Maybe God's calling you out to go to another part of the world to share the gospel of Christ with others. There are 3,056 unreached people groups still left that need to be touched with the gospel. Why do you tell us that? It's our job. See, God didn't call the Southern Baptist Convention to go reach the world for Christ. He saved me and He saved you to go reach the world for Christ. It begins in Jerusalem. It moves to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. My job, my calling is to reach gospel-hardened church members in the United States to tell them about Jesus. Now, why are you saying that? You've heard the gospel all your life. You know, there's some of you that know, you know you need Jesus in your life. And today we're inviting you to change ownership of your life and make Jesus Lord. If you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, we're offering an invitation in just a moment. Matter of fact, y'all can come on up and get ready to lead us in that. I'm going to tell you something. You have some good deacons here. Deacons that love the Lord and are unashamed of the gospel and are willing to share their faith. We're going to invite you in this service if you need to trust Jesus. Brother Blue, I need Christ in my life. We're going to ask one of these deacons to take their Bible, show you in Scripture what you must do to have Jesus in your life. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to help you to become all you can be in Christ. Amen? We want to help you do that. I also want to tell you this. You have children that are back there. Praise God for that. But you have a world right here in front of you. There are more people in Livingston today than there was this time last year. 10 years ago, when I moved here in 1998, more people here than there was in 1998. God's bringing the world to you. We need to go reach them for Christ. Will you share the gospel? Will you make a commitment to the Lord? The altar of prayer is open for these commitments to be made. Heavenly Father, give us courage to act on Your word. We pray for those that may be closest to eternity without Thee, that this will be the day that they make Jesus the Lord of their life. Give us courage to respond and act on Your word. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.